drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Welcome in. This is the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, we're with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. You want to jump on into the show? 312-332-3776. This segment is sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. Mike, you are outwards after this show, getting some golf in today. I think a lot of people will be getting some rounds in today. The weather hasn't really cooperated too much so far this season. We got a little bit of a taste, a little bit of a tease with that 80-degree weekend. What was that, 2-3 weeks ago now? But since then, it has not been perfect or even somewhat ideal golf weather. But I think today may be the start of a little bit of a turn, hopefully, and you're going to try to take advantage of that today, huh?
I certainly am, and good morning, Tyler, and good morning, Chicago. Yeah, it's April in Chicago, so it could snow, it could be 80, it could just do just about anything, but I'm glad to see April out the door here soon, because May is going to give us, I think, the warmer temperatures as I start to look out to the future. But today, yeah, I'm heading out to Highlands of Elgin. My nephew's got a baseball game next door, and Jim Vogt and the team is graciously going to host us. My brothers, we're going to go out at around 1:50, 2 o'clock. So I think the rain, that if it does come, it'll be in, it'll be out. So I think we're going to have a decent afternoon for Chicago. But, yeah, better weather is coming. But for the diehards, we're going to have some fun today for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, so let's get into what's going on in the world of golf right now. We've got a overlapping weekend between the LIV Golf as well as the PGA Tour. But this was maybe one of the headlines of the week. Taylor Gooch coming out on a podcast saying that Tiger Woods talked to him at the Masters about the Saudi-backed series. Now, maybe it is more of a headline grab than it is there being some sort of juicy detail that, oh, Tiger Woods could be going over to LIV Golf. But he was talking to Taylor Gooch. They were warming up at Augusta, and he was just sort of talking to him about, oh, you're going to Singapore in a couple weeks. Oh, you're going down to Australia. And he's giving him all these sort of tips for what to do while you're down there in all these different locations and stuff like that. Now, here's the one thing about Tiger is, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Kevin Durant in basketball in the sense that the guy just loves the sport. Lives, breathes, eats, sleeps, drinks it. Like, he loves the sport. So, of course, he's going to know what's going on with the LIV Golf Series here. Of course, he's going to know that all this stuff is taking place, and he's very well aware of who's playing well over on the LIV Tour, who's not playing well, all that stuff. He is just an absolute golf junkie on top of being one of the greatest we've ever seen.
He is. There's no doubt about that. But I will say what was somewhat revealing to me in the article and on the podcast, if you listen to it, is the fact that he's noticing. He knows the name of the teams. He knows that Taylor was acquired, you know, so he's paying attention. And if Tiger's paying attention, I think more people are going to start paying attention, because if he's paying attention, maybe I should as well.
Right. And I don't think this is going to be, oh, Tiger's going to make some sort of leap over to LIV. He came out and condemned LIV Golf pretty hard when it all started to take place. And there was the rumored deal to be almost $1 billion. What was it, like $850 million that he turned down? if you're turning down $850 million, especially in the state of health that he was in at the time as well, when he did turn down the $850 million, he's not going over there, I don't think. I think the entire golf world would be thoroughly shocked, even if he was rumored to maybe be going over there, let alone actually making the leap over to LIV Golf.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. What does $850 million not buy you? Legacy.
Right.
And that's why he's doing that. But at the same time, I think it's proving that little by little, LIV is starting to have some success. And we saw it in Australia. We're seeing some of it in Singapore. The crowds seem to be pretty strong, maybe not quite what they were in Australia. But I will say they have a loaded leaderboard. Like, if you look at their leaderboard today, mm-hmm. with 36 holes in, as the PGA Tour has 36 holes in, and you compare the two leaderboards, it's very black and white. It's night and day. It's just very different. So this week is definitely, you would know way more people on the LIV leaderboard than you ever would at this event, because it's a non-designated event. Mm-hmm. And I say it's a purse of only, in parentheses, of $7.7 million, which back 20 years ago, that would have been a huge purse. Mm-hmm. So now they can't, you know, this is the week that the big names on the tour decide to take a rest. So Right. That's what's going on.
Yeah, really the only two notable names playing the Mexico Open this week are Jon Rahm and Tony Finau. Finau in the lead right now. But you look over on the other side in the LIV tournament right now, and atop the leaderboard, you've got Sergio Garcia and Taylor Gooch. And Taylor Gooch went out last weekend and absolutely blew the field away. And, I mean, he was, what was it, 20 under through the first two rounds, and then he goes one over the next day with a 10-stroke lead heading into the day. Like, you don't see that anywhere. But then you go even further down the leaderboard here. Brooks Koepka in third. He is one stroke back. Cameron Tringali is 11 under. He's two strokes back. Then you got Cam Smith and Scott Vincent. Phil's played some really good golf.
He is.
Ever since the Masters. That may have been just the kick in the ass that he needed. But he's played phenomenal golf as of late. He's 10 under in seventh place right now. Mito Pereira is in eighth at 9 under. Then you got Jason Kokrak and Louis Oosthuizen tied for ninth. Bryson DeChambeau in a tie for 11th alongside Joaquin Niemann and Bubba Watson. Like, we haven't even gotten to Dustin Johnson's name yet or Patrick Reed's name yet. That's a real leaderboard right there. And that's something that in a week like this, LIV Golf is going to win.
Yeah.
And maybe not in the TV ratings, but in terms of the actual eyes, it feels like this is the one that's garnering the win.
It is. And you know what's interesting? The only way this would have been more successful with LIV is if they could have had these events at a point where we could actually watch them live and not be in bed sleeping. And that's been the only downside, I think, if you were to shoot some truth venom into some of the LIV executives, that they really wish that these events were actually occurring after the Masters here in the United States to take advantage of that particular event. And clearly, like, to your point, Phil Mickelson is absolutely, I think, feeling comfortable finally in the decision that he made, and I think validated who he is and where he is when he was at Augusta. And I think he's going to play some great golf now going forward because he's comfortable in his own skin for the first time since about a year ago, February.
Right.
And so I think he's now starting to find it more so mentally. And it's going to be really interesting because after Singapore, they have a couple of weeks off, and then they come back and they come to the United States for an event May 12th to the 14th at Cedar Ridge, which happens to be the week before the PGA Championship, then the week after the PGA Championship. And Cedar Ridge, by the way, is in Oklahoma, outside of Tulsa. And then May 26th to the 28th, they're going to be at Trump National in Washington, D.C. So I think, to me, if LIV has made any sort of progress as far as the United States golfing, you know, public is concerned, Washington, D.C., to me, is the litmus test.
Are you surprised at all that they are putting an event right before the U.S. Open like that?
No, because, you know,
or the PGA, I should say.
Yeah, the PGA. Yeah. No, because that, I think, is a nice formula for them based on what just happened at the Masters. I think they're figuring out the best formula as far as scheduling. But I think they learned this year it's probably not in their best interest to leave the United States after the Masters. But, you know, you still got to get all those other countries into the fold. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from a viewer perspective, a television perspective, that's going to be the biggest challenge at hand. And I think the United States core golfing fan is going to be slow in embracing this. I think some more have. The curiosity factor is really there. I've had more people asking me about, do you really think this thing's real? Do you really think this thing's going to make it? Because I'm adamantly opposed to it. But then they tell me, but with one eye, I kind of want to watch what's going on because I just want to see what this is about. I think if they have a tremendous PGA championship, much like they did with the Masters, the LIV players, then I think this thing really becomes more formidable for us. But I will say they have got a tough, tough test going to the PGA championship, you know, playing Oak Hill, which is not an everyday golf course for any of these players. And it is a very difficult golf course. I spent 2 years of my life producing the 1995 Ryder Cup matches there, and it is a fantastic venue for a major. But it's not a regular venue. So I think the LIV guys are going to have a real, you know, test on their hands playing in the U.S. Open and the PGA because they're not a course that they're familiar with. And now all of a sudden, you know, does the 72-hole more groomed, more frequent player have the advantage over some of these LIV players in the 54 holes and, you know, a less of a schedule? I think so.
So here's what I think is going to have to take place for this to really take hold, because I don't think people are just going to jump into LIV golf. I don't think you'll see, because I will say this, I don't think they've done a great job of promoting on social media. I feel like, and maybe it's just the way that my algorithm is sort of built out and what comes into my feed, but I feel like I haven't seen a whole heck of a lot from a social media standpoint. What I think is going to have to happen is you're going to be watching an old episode of Riverdale or 90210. You're going to turn the TV off. Then the next morning, you're going to turn it back on, and you're going to have a LIV event on. And you're just going to kind of get drawn in that way, right? Like, that to me is the only way some of these people are going to actually end up watching some of this stuff. So it'll be interesting, I think, to see, like you said, when it does come back to the United States, how many people show up, because we have seen a lot of empty crowds in the United States. It's been much more embraced overseas. And then also, what do the ratings look like when you're on a normal TV schedule as well?
Exactly. And, you know, the best event they had in the United States was just west of us out at Rich Harvest. And they're expecting even a bigger event this year from talking with the team out there. But your point about social media is so spot on. I have not seen much in the way of any LIV social media, but I'm a firm believer that what the PGA Tour has going for them is the fact that these young stars are so very good, but they use social media themselves personally, and the PGA Tour does such a great job getting these faces out there.
Yes.
That's why I think the PGA Tour is in the catbird seat more than ever, and I think social media is going to help, you know, recognize some of these guys that we are saying we don't know today at the Mexico Open, but by 4th of July, call it even August, that some of these guys are going to be household names. They're just that good.
Yeah, no doubt about that. 312-332-3776. You want to jump on into the conversation here, talking LIV golf, talking the PGA Tour as they continue to go back and forth. And again, this is one of those overlapping weekends this weekend. All right, when we come back, we'll take all of your calls and also dive into a little bit more of what's going on in the leaderboard on the PGA Tour side. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment is brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan with you on the CDGA Golf Show. Live Golf and the PGA Tour with the overlap this weekend, and it has been intriguing to watch. There was a little bit of nature striking on out at the PGA Tour in the Mexico Open. We'll get to that in just a second, but first, Gideon's in Skokie. What's up, Gideon?
Good morning, Tyler and Mike.
Good morning.
So I really enjoy when there's golf on TV, so more golf, more better, in my opinion. And to be honest, I hadn't tuned into the Live Tour at all since it started, but I just searched on my TV and I saw it's going to be on WGN, and I think that's really exciting, especially since it starts 2 hours before PGA coverage starts on CBS. That's how I usually just watch on TV. I don't stream anywhere ahead of when it shows live on TV. So I'm excited to watch on WGN today, catch some Live Tour action, and also catch some PGA Tour action on CBS later. I think that the fact that you have these two tours competing shows that there's a lot of interest in golf right now. Like, I think golf has expanded in popularity much more. I don't know. I think Tiger's a part of that, but I think that having two tours on TV is really exciting.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And thanks for the call, Gideon. Listen, like, if the pandemic taught us anything from a sports standpoint, it is that golf is booming right now. And I mean, it was the only thing you could play for a while. You've seen it absolutely take off over the last, what is that now, 3 years? And just the popularity, it doesn't matter. I think when we were at the Chicago Golf Convention, too, to start our show, that was the perfect encapsulation of it. You had old people, you had young people, you had children, you had men, you had women. You covered every single demographic inside the Rosemont Convention Center that for that weekend. And that just kind of shows you where the state of golf is right now.
Yeah, and I mean, and Gideon's right. Most people look at it like he is. More golf, more better, you know? But for a lot of people, there are a ton of Phil Mickelson fans out there.
Right.
There are a ton of Dustin Johnson fans out there. So you may not like the Live and what it stands for, but you're still a fan of that particular player. And when they're going good, it's exciting. And I think with Phil playing good golf, I think it's going to start attracting the Phil lovers.
You know what's funny, too, is golf and tennis and pretty much any individual sport, F1, any of the racing, all of that is tailored towards the modern way where you see young people follow sports, right? You don't find as many young people and kids that are necessarily fans of teams anymore. You get kids that like players now because right. They can go to YouTube, watch these highlights and all that. They play the fantasy sports and all that stuff. Like, they are more fans of players as opposed to teams. And when you've got golf, that is the most individual sport you can find, golf, tennis, all that stuff, these individual sports kind of feel tailor-made for attracting young people. And that's why I think the sport really has legs moving forward from a professional standpoint. And then when you give guys options, too, of you can watch the PGA Tour, you can watch the Live Tour, that's got legs, that has traction, and that I think is going to build with this younger generation.
And to your point about the younger generation, my brother Dan just went out and bought himself a speaker, you know, a wingman with a magnet so it can stick on his cart. That's now a new item that you need to have, right? Because what's Liv doing? Golf, but louder. They're playing music. So, you know, for the guys like myself that grew up with it being a very quiet sport, like, it's still tough for me to get used to playing with music in the background and that kind of stuff.
That but used I'm to be radical, to
that,
right?
Well, like, that was
like the rowdy kids came to the golf course.
That's right.
And it was frowned upon. Now it's commonplace. You see it at every golf course. And like you said, you've got the speakers now with the ultra-strong magnets, just like the rangefinders, that you stick to the side of the cart. and you can play whatever. And nothing's frowned upon. You can play country, you can play rap, you can play rock, like anything you can play. Whereas, like, it used to be people would come, they would blast whatever sort of music, they'd have it all the way turned up, and everyone would want them kicked off the course. Now, if you're not doing it, it seems like you're the weird one.
Yeah, kind of. And, you know, the other thing is Jersey Mike's a big partner of ours. Dan Shanahan, you know, every time we play, he asks the group, would you mind?
Yes.
And what kind of music would you like
right.
to play? Do you want hard rock? Do you want country? Do you want soft? So there's almost like an etiquette around a speaker.
Right. Mm-hmm. That was something I was going to bring up, because the one round I've gotten out this year, it was me and a buddy, and we were playing with another couple, and the way that, like, they were probably in their 50s, mid-late 40s, and they asked right out of the gate, like, hey, do you mind if we play some music? Like, you're right, there is an etiquette to it as well, but, like, the answer is always going to be yes.
Sure.
Like, at that point, like, the answer will always be yes, and it was fun. It was just funny that me and my buddy, we were in our mid 20s, and it was the twosome with us, the other part of our foursome, they were in their 40s, and they're the ones asking to play music. Like, it's kind of funny how the tables have turned a little bit.
It has. And, you know, and that's another sign that the game is growing in more non-traditional ways, but it's attracting people who have never been a part of the game to come to the game, to explore it, the curiosity factor. And it's just another ancillary way of growing the interest and popularity of the game.
312-332-3776. If you want to jump on into this conversation, we're talking live golf, also talking about playing music on the courses as well. Doug's in Arlington Heights. What's up, Doug?
Hey, how are you?
Good. What you got for us today?
Yeah, I went to the live event last year out in Sugar Grove, and it was really, really fun. Very different. A much younger crowd than I've seen at other events. I think that's what they're shooting for. It was very well organized for the first time they've done it. And I look forward to how crazy it's going to be this year. It was basically one huge party the whole time. And, you know, the golfers were into it, and the fans were into it. It's just a lot of fun.
Now, Doug, do you go to a lot of events in the area, whether it's Korn Ferry or even like the BMWs?
Oh, I'm like a golf tourist. I go to lower level USGA events just to see the golf courses. I go to as many LPGA events as I can get to. I wish there was one in Chicago. I mean, those are so much fun. And actually, I probably don't go to as many PGA events as other people do, because I find their golf too intimidating to watch. But yeah, I go to a lot of places.
Okay. Good to know. Thanks for the call, Doug. Appreciate it. Doug, Arlington Heights, 312-332-3776. If you want to jump on into the conversation, Patrick is in Iowa. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, how you doing, Tyler and Mike? Absolutely love your show. You're a dynamic duo, so keep it going.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I got one comment and one question. My comment is I loved watching John Rahm just absolutely chew up Koepka. it was great. I'm a PGA loyalist, but I love the competition between the LIV and the PGA. Mm-hmm. My comment is, can you tell the general fan like myself what PGA events or what events are the LIV people banned from, and what can they play in the United States? And then my last comment is, Mike, I hope you and your brothers just absolutely stick some birdies today. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Patrick. It's actually funny he brings that up, because there was a little bit of controversy this week with Taylor Gooch and his eligibility for some of the majors this year.
There really was. But to answer Pat's question, basically, they can only play in the major championships, providing that they have made or qualified in a fashion that supports their particular event. And the reason I say that is because Taylor, when last year, qualified for the United States Open based on being eligible or by making it to the Tour Championship. But the Tour Championship, the final event on the PGA Tour calendar, is a PGA event. So when he made the decision to go to LIV, the PGA Tour banned him as well as all the others during the summer. So the USGA, over the winter, changed, just added a little bit of a qualifier in there to not only say you have to qualify for the Tour Championship, but you have to be eligible to play. Mm-hmm. And so he's not eligible, but he did qualify. So it's almost as if the PGA Tour went out and created a rule. It's almost like the Taylor Gooch rule.
Yes.
As we'll know it going, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know if it'll ever happen again, but he's going to be the only guy that I'm aware of for some time, unless somebody else this year, you know, qualifies, but, you know, then elects to go to LIV before the Tour Championship. So it was a very odd, peculiar thing, but it really kind of gave a sense of that they were like hunting out for him or
right.
like,
you not know, necessarily him in particular, but any LIV player that exactly. was on that fringe of the
exactly.
the qualification there. So, yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting to see how some of this plays out over the next couple of years. And listen, some of these exemptions will start to run out at a certain point, too.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what's going to be really fascinating. Are they going to totally freeze out some of these names in what is it going to be probably like 3-4 years from now if LIV is still up and kicking? Like, are they going to really freeze some of these guys out?
Well, and that was some of the conversation when they got to Singapore when Bubba Watson and Phil Mickelson were asked that very question. And that's where they then said, you know, the official, you know, golf world rankings, if you will, are flawed. And they are flawed, but not because of LIV. They're just flawed in general. And we can get into that's a whole other discussion at another time. But what they're suggesting, because I think what's going to happen after we experience a PGA, the U.S. Open, and the you know the Open over in Liverpool,
yep.
When we have the villains and we play out these narratives, it's going to make an impact on how great these majors and how fun they were to watch. Because villains and a storyline helps what makes sports great.
The Masters was such great drama.
It really was. And if we continue to have that at the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, heading into the British, it's going to make those, you know, governing bodies sit back and go, well, do we really want to freeze them out? So Bubba and Phil basically have suggested, instead of the majors looking at the world rankings, why not just take every tour and take, okay, we'll say LIV, you get the top five guys every year. Whoever's in the top five LIV players, they get to go to the U.S. Open or pick a number. But they think it should be by tour and the top players on those tours, not an official world rankings.
312-332-3776. If you've got a thought on that, you know, it's going to be really fascinating to see how they handle this, because I get from the PGA Tour standpoint, you want nothing to do with these guys. You want to freeze them out. You want them to lose out on all this stuff that's going on your, not on your tour, but like kind of in your shadows almost. But at the same time, those television ratings could be severely impacted as well.
Oh, yeah.
Which will be interesting to see. And listen, like Augusta probably doesn't care, right? Mm-hmm. But some of these other majors, they do care.
They do.
And they're not going to be okay with that.
And, you know, it's funny, too, because if you think about Taylor Gooch for a second, and obviously he got stung by this rule, and he's 59th in the official world golf rankings currently. But the feeling is that by the time they get to the cutoff, the deadline, he's going to fall out of the top 60 and clearly not make it. This gentleman has shot 62, yeah. 71. He shot 64, 65 this week.
He shot a 71 just because he could.
Yeah, because he just probably had a lot, you know, had a late night because he had this thing in the bag.
Right.
I mean, you know.
10-stroke lead.
Yeah, I mean, how much more do I want to put the hammer down on these guys, right? But we're going to be robbed of seeing Taylor Gooch trying to navigate L.A. Country Club North. And I don't think that's fair because I would love to see if his game is really quite that good and put him under the microscope against the best on the tour. And we as golf fans are being robbed of that. And I clearly understand the PGA Tour's rationale and reasoning behind it. And I'm not arguing with that. But I'm just saying again, it would make the U.S. Open much more must-watch TV.
No doubt about it. 312-332-3776 if you want to jump on in. By the way, we are going to talk to Nick Hardy coming up at 9 o'clock, the champion over at the Zurich Classic alongside Davis Riley. Nick Hardy will join us at 9 o'clock. And Eric Ciotti from the CDGA and Big Ten Network. That's coming up at 9:35 to give us an update on what's taking place out in New Jersey for the men's championships in the Big Ten. You want to jump on in? 312-332-3776. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro golf bag. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, you want to jump on into the conversation? We've been talking a lot of LIV Golf and some of the intricacies. Taylor Gooch may miss the U.S. Open due to a little rule tweak by the USGA that will probably, when it's all said and done, keep him out. But it'll be interesting to see how everything sort of transpires there. Josh is in Crystal Lake. What's up, Josh?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, first I want to tell you guys I appreciate you guys talking golf on Saturday mornings. I really do.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, you know, so first, I'm 43, okay? I'm 43. I'm more of a purist with the game. And when this whole thing started, and I think obviously everybody can see it, you know, the money grab, right? And you're getting offered all this money to go play golf. Over, let's just say, the nostalgia of what is on the tour and how we play golf. And, you know, I heard one of the callers, you know, calling in. He sounded like an older gentleman. I could be wrong, but, you know, he was talking about going to the LIV event and the music and everything else, and he thought it was cool. And to each his own, you know. But I don't think that if you see the golf that's being played on LIV opposed to the golf that's on PGA Tour, and you see the list of names that you have over there at LIV, and you see week in, week out, and we chime in, we pay attention, you know, me and my wife loves golf more than I do, and she's a big Dustin Johnson fan, you know, but when you see these guys for the first time outside of LIV come back to play the Masters, and what do we see? We saw these guys up on the leaderboard. Mm-hmm. We saw Koepka, you know, pretty much take the whole thing. Mickelson end up where he was at, right? Their first time away from what they have over at LIV, away from what I'm going to say is a distraction to golf, right? It's kind of crazy, but you think about going out and playing golf, and you've got, you know, speakers that you would have at a concert playing music the whole time. But overall, the quality of golf, I think, for me, the guy who loves the game, loves to watch the golf, loves to play golf, loves to go to the events, the John Deere, the BMW, whenever we can, you know, I want to see good golf. And I hate seeing some of the best players out there in the world over on LIV not playing good golf. You know, that's what it's all about. In the end, for me, I want to see good golf. And I want to see those guys over on LIV. I want to see them on the PGA Tour. I want to see them competing with the other guys, you know, and it's just not there. I just don't get it.
So, Josh, how much LIV Golf would you say you've consumed?
Oh, because of my wife. Okay. Unfortunately, I'd say we've probably watched at least five to six tournaments.
Okay. Wow. That is probably miles beyond what I would say the average golf fan has consumed.
Well, listen, we're big golf fans, and, you know, we like seeing good golf, and we like seeing these guys compete. And so, especially with DJ, you know, and she's a big DJ fan. And so when they went over, you know, all of a sudden I've got Liv up on my computer, right? And we're streaming it to the TV, and I'm like, come on, you know, but it's still golf, and you still, but, you know, I can't stand it. So I can't stand it.
Josh, let's say she was a Xander Schauffele fan instead of a DJ fan, all right? How much Liv Golf do you think you would have watched?
I can't say.
But very little, you'd imagine, right?
I can't say, I think about it, though. The first time that they get away from that stuff, and they're at Augusta, right? And they're away from that stuff, and they're locked in. And we're seeing them play like we know that they can play, you know?
And Josh, first and foremost, behind every great man is there's a great woman. And your wife, to bring you along and have the passion for golf like that, I absolutely applaud. But I think your wife is demonstrating what we were talking about earlier, how an individual player will bring you to check it out. Yeah. And I think with Phil starting to play the golf that Josh just mentioned, he's going to attract more people, because what Phil fan wants to watch Phil play poorly like he did last year with all that on his mind? But now the guy's flourishing, right? So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when they come back to the United States, for sure.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That's Josh and Crystal Lake. You want to jump on in? 312-332-3776. You had one of the most unique experiences that I've heard in a golf situation. I want to talk about that coming up next. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. We've been talking a lot about the LIV and PGA Tour overlap today. We want more of your thoughts. And also, Mike had one of the most unique golf experiences I've ever heard of. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, John's in Waukegan. What's up, Johnny?
Good morning, guys.
Morning. Good morning.
Yeah, for me, the question will be, how does LIV treat the volunteers? A lot of tournaments that I've been aware of, at least in the Chicago area, you know, the volunteers end up paying over $100 for their so-called gear. So if LIV is going to treat the volunteers as not profit center, then I'm all for that.
Interesting.
Interesting take. And he's right. Most majors, when you are, quote, volunteering, you're actually paying. Yep. And you can look at it as, I'm actually paying for a ticket and getting a free uniform,
or I'm paying getting a much better seat.
Oh, yeah. Well, depending on what committee you serve on, of course. If you're on the transportation committee, you are not going to see a lot of the golf course. You're going to probably see more of the airport. But that being said, it's interesting that he brings that up, because it has been a sore subject with some folks that are volunteering. They think, I'm volunteering my time, I'm not getting paid, and now I have to pay to do this.
Right.
The majors have done that. I think what I'm starting to see is more events getting sponsors behind that piece of it, so that if there is an expense, it's very minimal. And I'll be keen to know what LIV is doing this year. Yeah. I know they've throttled back on some of their expenses.
Right, yes.
They've cut out some of the ancillary frills,
tighten the belt a little bit. Yep.
But he's right. I don't know what LIV does, quite candidly.
No, yeah, maybe we'll have to figure that out, see if someone, and maybe someone did volunteer. If you did and want to let us know, 312-332-3776. All right, so you had one of the most, it's funny because we're going to talk to Nick Hardy in a little bit, and we talked with him a little bit earlier in the week, and you, when we were taping the interview, you were up in Milwaukee during it.
Exactly.
And you were en route to go play at X Golf while also having the capability of watching live baseball.
That's correct.
So just the floor is yours, Mike.
So X Golf, as you know, is one of our partners. And as we got to know them, after the Chicago Golf Show, I asked, you know, where are you guys going next? And they're saying, hey, we're going out to Arizona. And I said, well, what's out there? And they said, Milwaukee Brewers Spring Training Camp. And I said, well, what does that have to do with X Golf? They said, you aren't going to believe this. We put in 8 simulators. There is an X Golf located on the third level and the second level. So it's a 2-story mm-hmm. in American Insurance Field.
Yeah, which, the Brewers Stadium.
The Brewers
yeah.
Stadium, as yeah. I always affectionately call it, Miller Park.
Yep.
And so we had an 11:20 tee time, and there were 6 of us. So we went up there to scout this out because, breaking news, the CDGA is going to have a special member event for 30 people. We will let the details out in early May, but it's going to be on July 6th when the Chicago Cubs go on up to affectionately called, what, Wrigley Field of the North?
Wrigley North, yep.
Wrigley North, to play the Milwaukee Brewers. But we're going to play golf before that. So the 6 of us played on 1 simulator, and we were overlooking left field, watching the batting practice and the guys getting ready and the field groomers and all that good stuff. And literally in 80 minutes, we played a 6-some. We played 9 holes, alternate shot format, and had an absolute terrific time. And then walked down to our seats and watched live baseball. It was the best of all worlds. I'm a baseball fan and a golf fan.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday was like a dream day for me.
Yeah. So you probably have like Bernie the Brewer taking hacks up in X Golf and then going down the slide, right?
Bernie's slide is right next to the simulator we were hitting into. So he's waving at us, the whole thing. So it's just a unique place to be swinging golf clubs. And here's the cool part. I'm thinking, do I got to lug my clubs?
Right.
And
yeah.
Shoes? No. They've got this deal with Callaway. And so for many of you, if you go to X Golf, especially up in Milwaukee, you're probably going to play golf with clubs that are far better than what you currently
right,
have in
exactly.
your bag.
Yep.
These are state-of-the-art, mm-hmm. Callaway, high-end, and that's what they want, a very high-end experience. And one of our guys in our group, Casey Richards, he swings from the other side, so he's a lefty. So we told him we'll have 1 left-handed guy. They had a left-handed bag for him and a right-handed bag for the rest of us. And it's great because you just go up like you're a regular baseball fan. You play your golf, although some of us packed our golf gloves in our pocket because we are serious players.
Right, uh-huh.
And so we just
had a
ball. I
didn't think of that. Like, yeah. You probably, yeah, you should be aware of that. You should bring a glove if you are planning on doing this.
Yeah, exactly, because it does kind of feel weird when you don't have your golf
right.
glove on if you're somebody that wears it on a consistent basis. So we had an absolute ball doing it. And, you know, we warmed up. You put the driving range or practice range mode on, and then you flip it over. And we ended up playing the back 9 at Oakmont Country Club with all the church pews. And, oh, it was just so fun. And let me tell you, those greens, even in a simulator, are yep. like glass.
That
they
was the
so fast.
That was the thing that I think I was most impressed with the simulator was some of the putting stuff that takes place there. But that's really fascinating. And that'll be a cool event that you guys are having up at Wrigley North with the X Golf for the Cubs game. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we, Eric Ciotti, who we'll talk with later, is an exceptional putter. I mean, obviously he played at Northwestern and played with Luke Donald, and he can putt on a simulator too. So it transfers over eloquently. That guy knocks him in from all over. It's crazy.
Yeah. Real quick before we hit the break, Karen is at Cog Hill. What's up, Karen?
Hey guys, how are you?
Good.
Good. I was calling a friend of mine volunteered at the Live at Rich Harvest, and mm-hmm. they do not charge for uniforms.
Interesting.
Wow.
All right. So
very
now we've
good.
Got our answer there. Thanks for the call, Karen.
Karen, nice.
And again, like you said, though, what are they going to do this year?
Yeah.
Right? Because now we've seen, and maybe precedent's been set, and they're just that's what they're going to roll with every single time. And again, like for even though there is some tightening of the belt with Live Golf right now, they still have exorbitant amount of money that is being thrown into this, and that is such a minimal cost to them.
It really
apparel.
Is. And, you know, if they really want to connect with our public, they will keep doing as such. And it was interesting. I did talk to some of the volunteers when I was out there last year, and they were like, again, that attitude of our call earlier, hey, more golf. I just wanted to be a part of this thing, and I signed up, and this has been great. You know, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they get an up-close opportunity to be with guys that are still stars in many, many eyes of others.
Yep. All right, when we come back, we will talk to the champion at the Zurich Classic. Nick Hardy joins the show when we come back right here on the CDGA Golf Show. The Pride of Northbrook with us in just 2 short minutes. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, Up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.